All right, so we're back and diving back into the whole Coleco Chameleon thing, but this time we're kind of shifting gears. You know, instead of the crash and burn itself, we're looking at the aftermath when the dust settles. What happens after the fallout, like when the hype dies down and the cameras move on?
Yeah. It's kind of like, they say failure is a great teacher.
Right.
But what about the people left holding the bag? In Mike's case, it wasn't just a product that failed. It was a whole lot of debt, a whole community that felt burned, and his reputation. Well, let's just say it took a nosedive.
Yeah, he was basically radioactive in the retro gaming world. So, like, how do you even start to rebuild from that? Asking for a friend named Mike, hypothetically.
Well, Mike being Mike, he decides he needs an exit strategy, which basically boils down to selling anything he could to make some quick cash.
So, a kind of desperate fire sale.
Exactly. He was unloading everything, even his yacht. But two of his biggest assets were Game Gavel and Retro Magazine.
Okay, but, like, imagine trying to sell a used car after you've been caught messing with the mileage. Who's going to buy that?
Right, and that's kind of where Mike's at. But even when he's backed into a corner, the guy could sell ice to Eskimos.
So what do you do?
He starts talking to two potential buyers, Mark Kaminsky, his old partner, and Eli from Pico Interactive. And this is where Mike's, let's call them negotiating tactics, come into play.
Because he wasn't exactly playing with a full deck, was he? Transparency wasn't exactly his strong suit.
Not even close. Remember that phrase he loved to use? Future perceived value. Yeah, he pulls that one out again. Tries to convince them that Game Gavel was a gold mine waiting to be tapped.
Classic Mike. Never letting reality get in the way of a good story.
And it gets worse. He actually tries to use the whole situation to his advantage, even if it meant screwing over his former partners. He tries to wiggle out of a 30% agreement with Mark, saying he's drowning in debt, and then he plays this whole shell game with the sale prices, trying to minimize what he has to pay out.
So even when he was down, he was still trying to game the system.
Exactly. But here's the kicker. This whole deal, it backfires big time and ends up dragging Eli down with him.
This is the no checkpoint incident, right?
Bingo. Eli, thinking he got a steal on Game Gavel, decides to use their email list to launch this new project. Seems harmless enough, right?
Yeah, what could go wrong? Famous last words. So this is where it all goes sideways.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Turns out the list was ancient, full of people who unsubscribed years ago. So now Eli's inbox is exploding with angry emails. People are accusing him of spamming and being in cahoots with Mike.
Oof. Talk about bad PR. Eli must have been kicking himself for getting involved.
He tries to explain himself, says he bought the platform in good faith and had no idea, but the court of public opinion had already made up its mind.
It's like he stepped in something he couldn't get off his shoe. Mike really had a knack for leaving a trail of chaos in his wake.
Yeah, and unfortunately for Eli, he got caught right in the middle of it.
It's hard to imagine how it could get worse. But trust me, it does.
Yeah, this is where things get really personal.
This is about Willie, right? Mike's friend. The one who defended him when the whole chameleon thing blew up.
Yeah, Willie, good guy, total tech whiz. Remember he had lent Mike some of his Voltage Coloco tabletop games?
Yeah, for the podcast.
Right. And Willie being Willie, he'd even have prepared them, got them all working again. Then Mike turns around and sells them.
Wait, he sold Willie's stuff. Seriously.
On eBay. And get this, he doesn't even mention Willie, calls them part of his personal collection.
Oh man, that's low. So he's not just selling his friend's stuff, he's straight up lying about it too.
And to add insult to injury, he says they're in very nice condition. Conveniently forgets to mention the repairs Willie did.
What a scumbag. I mean, come on. What was he thinking?
The community was furious. They called him out immediately. Mike ended up being labeled Scumbag Seller of the Week on that CU podcast.
Ouch. That's got a sting.
And there was even a GoFundMe to buy Willie a sandwich.
You can't make this stuff up. So
Yeah.
what did Mike do? Did he try to dig himself out of that hole?
He did something kind of surprising. He donated to the GoFundMe for Willie and even issued a public apology of sorts.
Really? Let me guess. I'm sorry if anyone was offended.
Not quite. He basically said he forgot the stuff belonged to Willie, blamed it on his
Dre's
Mesh
memory. Come on. Who forgets something like
rack.
that?
Exactly. It's not like it was some random thing he found in his attic. These were machines Willie had entrusted to him that he personally repaired.
Okay, so maybe his memory isn't so great, but it's still a new low, even for Mike.
This whole thing really showed how much Mike was willing to exploit anyone and everyone, even his friends.
Yeah, so while all this is going down, Mike's moved to Arizona,
Right.
right? Trying to lay low. Did it work?
He was keeping a low profile for a while, but Mike being Mike, he couldn't stay silent forever. After a few months, he pops up on Atariage again.
The retro gaming forum. The same one that wanted to exile him.
That's
bold. What do you say? Was he there for forgiveness?
Starts off kind of casual, like nothing happened. Posts about a Pac-Man suit he's selling.
Testing the waters, huh? See if anyone remembers him enough to throw things.
Right, and you gotta remember, at this point, he's persona non grata in the retro gaming world.
So did anyone buy what he was selling? Or at least buy his act?
It was a mixed bag. Some people were like, hey, everyone makes mistakes, just be honest from now on. Giving him the benefit of the doubt.
People love a comeback story. Maybe they thought he'd changed.
But a lot of folks weren't buying it. They called him out hard. Said some pretty brutal things. Some even compared him to O.J. Simpson.
Oof. Not exactly the company you want to keep.
Yeah.
Not exactly a glowing endorsement. So, facing all this, did Mike finally come clean, you know, admit to everything?
Not really. He kind of danced around it, admitted to maybe mismanaging some things, said he regretted losing friends, but it was more like he regretted the fallout, not really taking responsibility for his actions.
So the classic non-apology apology.
Pretty much. And that's what makes this whole thing so fascinating. He had so much potential. So many people were rooting for him, but he kept making the same mistakes over and over.
Like he couldn't break free from his own patterns. So while he's off trying to rebuild his life, what happens to everyone else? Any karmic justice being served?
Oh, yeah, big time. Remember Albert? He used to be pretty active on Atariage.
Vaguely. What happened to him?
He ended up owning the Jaguar molds.
Get out. The same Jaguar that Mike had all those big plans for. That's some kind of cosmic irony right there.
It's like the universe has a sense of humor. And then there's Kevin Horton.
The one Mike tried to bring in on the Chameleon.
That's the one. He's actually doing incredibly well.
Good for him. Glad to hear someone's doing all right after that whole mess. What's he been up to?
He's become like a rock star in the FPGA scene, developing really successful retro consoles, proof that you don't need to cheat and lie to make it.
It's like that saying, the best revenge is a life well lived. But hold on. Didn't you say there was one more twist? Something about Mark Kaminsky.
Oh, yeah. This one's a doozy. Remember, Mark was Mike's old partner, the one he tried to cut out of the retro magazine deal.
Yeah, the one who saw through Mike's BS and walked away.
That's him.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? Mark ends up joining Retro Gaming Roundup.
No way. The same podcast Mike used to be a part of. You can't make this stuff up.
Nope. Life's stranger than fiction. And of course, Mike being Mike, he can't help himself, starts trying to stir up drama from the sidelines, saying Mark was the problem all along.
Some things never change. Even when he's down and out, he's still trying to control the narrative.
It really shows you how strong those patterns are that need to be in control to manipulate, to always be the center of attention, even if it's for all the wrong reasons.
So we've got this whole saga of ambition betrayal and ultimately a cautionary tale about wasted potential. Mike had it all. The talent, the connections, a real love for retro gaming, but he threw it all away.
He did, and that's the real tragedy here. What could he have achieved if he'd just chosen a different path? If he'd listened to the people around him, valued honesty over hype and collaboration over control?
Yeah, what if? It really makes you think about the choices we make and the impact they have. Not just on ourselves, but on everyone around us. Well, that about wraps it up for our deep dive into the Coleco Chameleon saga. What a wild ride.
It really was. And I think it reminds us that in this world, your reputation is everything. And once it's gone, it's really hard to get back. Thanks for taking this deep dive with us.